It's a beautiful verse and a fantastic purport. Translation. Vrindavan is the transcendental abode of the Lord, where there is no hunger, anger, or thirst. Though naturally inimical, both human beings and fierce animals live there together in transcendental friendship. The word vana means forest. Purport, sorry. Purport. The word van means forest. We are afraid of the forest and do not wish to go there. But in Vrindavan, the forest animals are as good as demigods, for they have no envy. Even in this material world, in the forest, the animals live together, and when they go to drink water, they do not attack anyone. Envy develops because of sense gratification. But in Vrindavan, there is no sense gratification, for the only aim is Krishna's satisfaction. Even in this material world, the animals in Vrindavan are not envious of the sadhus who live there. The sadhus keep cows and supply milk to the tigers, saying, "Come here and take a little milk." Thus envy and malice are unknown in Vrindavan. That is the difference between Vrindavan and the ordinary world. We are horrified to hear the name of Van, the forest, but in Vrindavan there is no such horror. Everyone there is happy by pleasing Krishna. Krishna kirtana gana natana paro, whether a Goswami or a tiger or other ferocious animal, everyone's business is the same, to please Krishna. Even the tigers are also devotees. This is the specific qualification of Vrindavan. In Vrindavan, everyone is happy. The calf is happy. The cat is happy. The dog is happy. The man is happy. Everyone. Everyone wants to serve Krishna in a different capacity, and thus there is no envy. One may sometimes think that the monkeys in Vrindavan are envious because they cause mischief and steal food. But in Vrindavan, we find that the monkeys are allowed to take butter, which Krishna himself distributes. Krishna personally demonstrates that everyone has the right to live. This is Vrindavan life. Why should I live and you die? No, that is material life. The inhabitants of Vrindavan think, whatever is given by Krishna, let us divide it as prasad and eat. This mentality cannot appear all of a sudden, but it will gradually develop with Krishna consciousness by sadhana. One can come to this platform. In the material world, one may collect funds all over the world in order to distribute food freely. Yet those to whom the food is given may not even feel appreciative. The value of Krishna consciousness, however, will gradually be very much appreciated. For instance, in an article about the temple of the Hare Krishna movement in Durban, South Africa, the Durban Post reported, "All the devotees here are very active in the service of Lord Krishna, and the results are obvious to see. Happiness, good health, peace of mind, and the development of all good qualities." This is the nature of Vrindavan. Harava bhaktasya mahad guno bhaktasya kuto mahad guna. Without Krishna consciousness, happiness is impossible. One may struggle, but one cannot have happiness. We are therefore trying to give human society the opportunity for a life of happiness, good health, peace of mind, and all good qualities through God consciousness. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Yatra nai sarga duvara sahasan nirmrigadaya mitran niva tijitavasa drutaruta sakadikam. Vrindavan is a transcendental abode of the Lord where there is no hunger, anger, or thirst. Though naturally inimical, both human beings and fierce animals live there together in transcendental friendship. There's cobwebs on that lantern. lampshade, not cobwebs. Om Gyana Timanandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chaksusan Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Pancha Kaupa Turubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shiva Sari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Long time ago, I was on a train. I was in India. I'd gone to Mayapur, Calcutta with three devotees. On a quiet time, Kartik, well, it was quiet in Mayapur. Then we were all getting frustrated in Calcutta trying to change money. In them days, you know, change money on the street, it wasn't so organized. About 94. And we took a train to Delhi, and we were starting to argue with each other, all four of us, you know, fighting. And the next day we were going to get the train from Delhi to Vrindavan, to Mathura. And so we got so upset with each other that we all sat in different compartments, you know, not speaking. Two was camped up, one was, and I was separate on my own, very angry with all of each other, you know. We'd been thrown together, gone to India. We weren't particularly the best of friends anyway. But as soon as we got to Vrindavan, it was Kartik. There was devotees from all over the world. It was evening. Everyone was hanging out, talking. Krishna Katha, Krishna Balaram temple was alive. Beautiful atmosphere. We immediately all sat down like nothing had happened. Took prasadam like best friends. Very happy. This is the influence of Vrindavan. No envy. As soon as you go there, you feel amazing transcendental atmosphere. Even tourists or people who happen to go there, they can feel this happiness. In the Nectar of Devotion, says if you go to visit Radha Govinda Temple in Vrindavan, you can go to the heavenly planets simply by visiting. This is the wonder of Vrindavan Dham. In Shastra, Goloka Namni Nijadamni Tale Chatasya. Goloka Vrindavan is the supreme planet, way beyond the material realm. And it is so big that the whole material world and Vaikuntha planets, they just fit into one little corner of Vrindavan Dham. There's a great deal of points made in this purport, so I'm going to try to go through a few of them. The first thing is that there's no envy there. And in the spiritual realm, there is also no time. There's no past. There is no future. There is only the ever-present. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains that the conditioned souls, their intellect is limited by the time and space, always limited. Therefore, they cannot perceive the transcendental realm. Therefore, we see that this material world is called a reflection of the spiritual realm. But ultimately, it's not real. For example, we have trees, right? What is a tree? It's a carbon, different chemicals and atoms. And it will last for a few hundred years and then completely disappear. So can we really say that it is a tree? Ultimately, it's not a tree. It's an amalgamation of atoms, atomic structure, that due to temporary nature of time will disappear. But in the spiritual world, the trees are real. They are real. Prabhupada says, if I ask you to get me a glass of milk, you can get me a glass of milk, because you're a living being. But if we go to an apple tree in Lechmore Heath and ask for a mango, the tree will not be able to give the mango, because it is not developed in consciousness. But in the spiritual world, the trees there are fully conscious. So you can ask for anything you need, and it will supply. This Goloka Dham has five different features, actually. Its original feature is, in the spiritual realm, Krishna's abode. Now, sometimes we say that, oh, the spiritual realm's up there, Krishna's up there, and it actually descends. But this is not categorically correct. Krishna and the spiritual world, Goloka Vrindavan, are both all-pervading. Just like Nrsingadev, he didn't have to travel to Hiranyakashipu's palace. He was already there. He's omnipotent. He's omnipresent. So in a certain situation, he will manifest. So similarly, Goloka Vrindavan is also all-pervading and eternal. And it doesn't actually descend. It can appear anywhere. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, when I perform devotional service in my house, then I see Goloka Vrindavan. And Haridas Thakur, he was in one cave. And the whole spiritual world, whole of Vrindavan Dham, became manifest there. So this main feature of the Dham is itself. The spiritual realm where Krishna resides, his eternal abode. And so therefore, we see the arrangement Krishna has made, Goloka Dhamma comes to the material world. It doesn't actually come, it's manifest there. Krishna kind of builds the universes with the Dhamma inside. It's already there, eternally. Bhoma Vrindavan. So that's the second feature of the Dhamma. This earthly Vrindavan. Earthly Vrindavan is superior to everything else manifest in the material world in terms of a spiritual dham. Just like Bhaktivedanta Mana dham. That's another type of dham. For example, Srila Prabhupada, he is another type of dham. He's a great devotee and the dham is in his heart. The whole spiritual world is in his heart. So when he went to America, although he had nothing, practically nothing, one set of books, everyone was attracted to him. And how did they actually contact that spiritual energy? Mainly through Nam Sankirtan, Prabhupada chanting Hare Krishna. By his chanting and speaking, if you heard it, then you'll become attracted. So the whole spiritual world's there in Prabhupada's heart. And then gradually, as he went all over the world, he manifest dhams. Of course, everywhere he went was a tirtha. Very place is a tirtha, right? Because Prabhupada stayed there. The deities were there. Now it's a dentist. And one very intelligent devotee in London, a Prabhupada disciple, she goes there for a dental treatment. So she can always remain in touch with that tirtha. So where Prabhupada temporarily went, Conway Hall, Hippie Hill, Haight Ashbury, these are all tirthas. The pure devotee was there. Similarly, one devotee says, I want to go everywhere where Lord Chaitanya stayed, all over. They want to visit every single place where Lord Chaitanya placed his lotus feet. So once Prabhupada got funding, then he created Bhaktivedanta Mana Dham. And we can say so many things about this place. But you see the difference between this place and earthly Vrindavan is that in 10,000 years, this may be an empty, dilapidated building. We'll all have disappeared. Maybe Kali Yuga has become so advanced, it's all over, right? Deserted. So is the potency lost? Is the potency lost? What do you think? No, it can never be lost. Even everything disappears, it can never be lost. Just like Prahlad Maharaj, he was in an empty temple. Ruins, temple ruins. Having an argument with his girlfriend. Big argument, fasted the whole night. He became Prahlad Maharaj in the next life. This was in his previous life, right? Because that temple had some shakti left. Some potency left. You see? There was another story of two drunks in an old temple dancing. And they picked up one rag and put it on a stick and they were flying the flag and dancing. So they went back to Vaikuntha because they put a flag up in the Lord's temple. So some potency will be left. But Prabhupada wanted us to be very strict and all these things, so the potency remains. And if you bring people to Bhaktivedanta Manor, bring guests, where is their most favorite place where they have the most amazing experience? Prasad. No. Prabhupada's rooms. Every time they say the atmosphere. So by Prabhupada's mercy, this is a dham. But Vrindavan Dham, no matter if every temple disappears, it'll always be the eternal abode of Krishna. Krishna is eternally related with Mathura Vrindavan. Even if it gets overrun with motorways and whatever the crazy things are going to happen in Kali Yuga, right? But you see, the Goswamis, like Prabhupada, they were ordered by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Vrindavan is so important, right? Prabhupada says, intelligent men no longer go to Vrindavan. It's full of sewage and dirt. Intelligent men don't go there because they don't understand the importance of Vrindavan Dham. Still, it's so important. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself, he's in Jagannath Puri with all his devotees, speaking to Jagannath, says, Vrindavan is my mind. Prabhupada said all Radha Krishna's pastimes are happening in Lord Chaitanya's mind. He doesn't need to go to Vrindavan, but still he went. And it says as he's walking, traveling to Vrindavan, his happiness increased, his ecstasy increased 100 times. And when he reached Mathura, his happiness increased 1,000 times, his ecstasy. And when he was wandering in the forests of Vrindavan, his happiness actually increased 10,000 times. So important, Vrindavan Dham. So Rupa Goswami, in the same way that Lord Brahma created the whole universe, he was empowered, Srishti Shakti, to create the whole universe. In the same way that Krishna empowered him, Lord Chaitanya empowered Rupa Goswami to enhance Vrindavan Dham. So the Goswamis were like Prabhupada. They had absolutely nothing, some just torn quilt, little buttermilk, living under trees, and look what they did. They're so advanced that all these wealthy kings and devotees from all over India gave them millions and millions of wealth, and they built Kusum Sarova, and hundreds of five main temples were there at the beginning. So many places. They established Radhakund, Shamakund, from nothing. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Radhakund, it was just a little puddle. He could see it, but no one else could. So this is another form of the Dham. It's called a Drishyamana. Drishyamana Dham means when Krishna is in the material world, when he actually appears in Vrindavan, the whole spiritual world is there, Vrindavan, for everyone to see. Even the conditioned soul. If you were there 5,000 years ago when Krishna was on the planet, you could see all the mountains and rivers and valleys and streams and beautiful trees, the big Kadamba trees, banyan trees, all these famous places. It was all there when Krishna... But when as soon as Krishna left, then it disappeared. Not visible to the conditioned soul. That's called the Drishyamana Dham. And then it becomes more and more, disappears or covers, and only the atmosphere is there, but the material, spiritual things that you can't see them anymore. When you go, you see, what do we see? You see? It's only by the Goswamis who came and built it up that we can see. And they've established so many temples and theaters and samadhis and kunds. It has a huge effect on our consciousness. It's a, Prabhupada says, a replica of the spiritual realm. It's a facsimile of the spiritual realm. Prabhupada says the holiest place in the whole universe is this area between Gurgaon, just to the south of Delhi, and down to Braj. Because that's where Lord Krishna did all his traveling, most traveling back and forth, here and there, everywhere. So this earthly Vrindavan is supreme. The pure devotees, they make these dhams all over the world. Prabhupada made 108, just see. It is inconceivable. And so the main feature of the Dham is that everyone there is absorbed in Krishna consciousness. There's one verse in the Bhagavatam. So when the hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord are there, then Yamuna, Saraswati, all the holy rivers are present. So we cannot see them. But the whole spiritual realm is here in the grounds of Bhaktivedanta Manor, in this temple room, everywhere, spiritual realm. The Yamuna is here, Govardhan Hill is here. It's all pervading. And by devotion, in the heart, one can perceive the spiritual atmosphere as one is proportionately purified or proportionately getting the mercy of Krishna. Just like when you first go to Vrindavan. Who remembers the first time they went to Vrindavan? Remember it now. You remember it? How nice it was? How was it? So wonderful, right? So amazing, the experience, right? Am I right? Yeah. So that is because you're getting Lord Chaitanya's mercy and you perform some devotional service, so you can perceive that. Whereas some materialist who just gets off the coach on his way to Jaipur and Taj Mahal, yeah, it's a nice place, I mean, you know. So proportionate to the purification of the heart, one can perceive the transcendental wonder. And just like it says at the beginning, the Sanskrit, the envy is cleared from the heart. So just imagine what Krishna's heart it is like. Even his abode frees one from envy in this material realm, a replica of his abode, or it's non-different, but there's a difference. Achincha abheda abheda tattva. So just imagine, there's no envy there. Huh? Envy is due to sense gratification. Bhayam dviti biniveshita shat isha da patasya vipariyo smriti. Tanmayato tam Buddha abhijetam bhakchakayesham guru deva tatma. So that is, we're all devotees. Every living entity is part and parcel of Krishna. But in the material world, he's completely forgotten who he is. I remember when I was thinking, trying to remember how I felt when I was 14, 13, 12. And I just imagined, because at that time you're kind of happy when you're 14, generally. You're kind of like, you're just getting a teenager, you're getting a bit older, you're nearly 16, 15. Completely in the bodily concept of life. This is me, this is my hometown, this is my family, this is my house, these are my friends, right? And you're kind of like ready for enjoying the world. You know, you're developing, you're maturing. 14, wow, I'm nearly 16, nearly 18. So that time between 14 and 17, maybe you experience some happiness. If the situation's right, you know. I think by the time I was 15, we were so attached to intoxication, if we couldn't get any, we couldn't enjoy. Completely dependent on the result. Was there a party? No party. Oh. Was there a new album coming out? No new album. Oh, we have to wait till next. Can we get something to enjoy? No, it's a bit boring. What should we do? So by the time you're 17, 18, the misery really starts to come. Bhayam dviti. So we're trying to enjoy forgetting Krishna life after life. What was my point? Kind of forgotten what I was saying. So... the suffering is there, material world. The happiness doesn't last very long. Kishore, 16, 17, after that, the misery begins, gradually. Is that right? What do you think? Maybe for me it was like that. That's why I joined Hare Krishna, no? So, the point is, the living entity is in illusion, and life after life. So this suffering is his best friend, because this suffering then begins to inquire, who am I? So Krishna, he's 16, right? Navayovanam, He doesn't think I'm supreme person. His opulences are insignificant to him. Lord Narayan, Krishna says this Vedic hymns and worship, it's weakened by a sense of awe and reverence. It's not so attractive. This Harinam Sankirtan is more attractive than all of the hymns of the Vedas to the Lord. It's Harinam, Goloka, Premadhan, Harinam Sankirtan. Doesn't say Harinam Kirtan. It says Harinam Sankirtan. That you have to glorify Krishna together. And the more people who get involved in this Sankirtan, I was just reading Prayers of the Demigods. Prabhupada says in one purport, if by chance one hears the glories of Krishna, hears Krishna's pastimes, then he can perfect his life, become liberated. So when the living entity gets this Krishna consciousness, then he's meant to perform, Prabhupada says here, sadhana, meant to practice it. Shravanam, kirtanam, smaranam. And part of the practice of Krishna consciousness, bhakti yoga, is to go to the dham or to reside in the dham. Rupa Goswami says, tistan braje tadanuragi jananugami. So in the beginning, we worship Radha and Krishna in reverence, in the mood of Lakshmi Narayan. Krishna Prabhupada explains this in Kapila Dev purports. But when we are more spontaneously attracted to Krishna in Vrindavan, this is called raga or spontaneous. And one starts to feel very attracted to Krishna in Vrindavan. Tistan braje. One should tistan braje, reside in Vrindavan. And the Acharya says, you can't go to Vrindavan, then you reside in your mind. Or you come to the Bhaktivedanta Mana and say, this is Vrindavan. Just by saying, I'm going to Mathura, you're liberated from material karma. What to speak of actually going there. So what I was saying was that Krishna himself, he's completely absorbed in his pastimes in the spiritual world, and everyone there is absorbed. They don't care that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's not important. They don't even see I'm in the spiritual world, these people in the material world. They don't think like that. They don't have this objective, subjective experience. In the spiritual world, what is that? I wrote it down. The qualities of something are non-different from the object, right? The name and the qualities of the object are the same. Prabhupada gives the famous water, water, water. In the spiritual world, you say water, water, water. But in the spiritual world, you say water, you get water. The name and the object, same. Mm. So Krishna tells Uddhava that all the animals, birds and beasts and trees, even the insects in Vrindavan, they all go to the spiritual world. You think about it. You see some ants in Vrindavan. How many? Thousands and thousands. So all them ants are going to go to the spiritual world when they die. But there's millions of ants. You think, how is it possible, every single ant? But imagine how many ants there are in England and America. But so just them proportionate percentage of ants in Vrindavan is actually a tiny percentage. And they said there are three things. It's glorious to take birth in Vrindavan. It's glorious to live in Vrindavan. But the most glorious to die in Vrindavan. And even you perform sinful activities in Vrindavan and you die there, you'll take one more birth as an animal in Vrindavan. As a hog, monkey, dog, like that. One more birth. Then you'll go back to Godhead. Just see the power of the Dharma. Even you, such a rascal there, you die there, you'll take one birth as an animal. Amazing. Prabhupada says, you never go to anywhere where you see so many hogs, dogs, monkeys. Where is there like Vrindavan? I have some experience of going to different holy places around India. Pushkar, Tirupati, Jagannath Puri. They're all so wonderful. Everyone has a different bhav, different mood. They're all so fantastic. You go to Tirupati, you finally get into the final area. It's like going to Vaikuntha. You just like, I'm in Vaikuntha. Everything's gold mandaps and the music, the Chennai is playing, and it's like, wow. But still, there's nowhere like Vrindavan. Nowhere. Nothing is as sweet and nice as Vrindavan Dham, Sri Vrindavan Dham. Like that. So this is a beautiful purport. Prabhupada says the word happy so many times. Imagine this is his last translations and purports. And he's giving this fantastic explanation. I was with one taxi driver, and we went to Govardhan from Parikram, and we bought some sompapli, as you do, and offer it to Govardhan Hill. So we're eating, enjoying, and this dog came. We were in the middle of nowhere, it was very quiet. This dog came. So the taxi driver says, if a living entity comes when you're eating, you must feed it. You must give something. This is dharma. This is, what's the word? This is a very good principle. This freedom from envy, not just for human beings. You see, when the Brijbasis, they're having a very difficult time, some bad luck has come in their life, they buy one bag of sugar and they go and they feed the ants. Because they think, for such a small price, few rupees, I can feed thousands of living entities. Dharmvasis. This is a broad vision. And when they build the house, they don't cut the tree, they build around it. They don't think envy just to human beings. Let's be nice to each other. Kill the animals, kill the trees, kill the insects. They don't think like that. This is not human life. Human life means freedom from envy for all creatures, great and small. The worst devotee, the best devotee, they're all to be respected. Trinadapi Sunichina. This is Krishna consciousness. This is our path. And all of this can be perceived and achieved through regular Shravanam Kirtanam, especially Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. There's just one, just a couple more interesting points. When Krishna comes, when he appears in the material world, all the incarnations, they come with him. All the Vishnu expansions, Narayans, etc. But when he leaves and goes back to the spiritual realm, then they all go back to their planets and he goes alone to Goloka Vrindavan. So Krishna, he is only Krishna in Goloka Vrindavan, nowhere else. Supreme Personality of Godhead sports in Vrindavan, Mathura and Dwarka. So Krishna, he's not there. He's there and not there. He's unmanifest. And we can feel his presence and hope to see him one day. This is our hope, Ashabandhu. This is one of the principles of sadhana bhakti, Ashabandhu. The great hope that one day we'll be able to see Krishna in Vrindavan and see Vrindavan, see the Dham and all. This is the supreme goal of our life. So if we do Harinam Sankirtan, spread Krishna consciousness, this is our service. Devotee doesn't mean to just sit and chant all day in the temple and read. You've got to do something practical. Rupa Goswami, he went to Vrindavan and followed Lord Chaitanya's order. Everyone followed Lord Chaitanya's order, all his associates. Some went there, some went here, went to preach. Even Haridas Thakur, who's chanting 192 rounds a day, he went preaching. Of course, we have to call it outreach now. This is a very good word. So, you cannot sit and think, oh, I'll do a lot of... you know, I won't do anything. I'll just chant and read. No, you've got to do practical activity. And there's so many things, we've got so much work to do. And one of the service we can do is to beautify the Dham. Prabhupada made that new Vrindavan. And he wanted them to build 7 temples on 7 hills and just unlimited. And like Dwarka Puri, every year he makes all these flowers with the other gardeners and all the other devotees, beautify Bhaktivedanta Manor, make it so beautiful that we kind of busloads of people come here just to see the beauty of the grounds, just to see the wonderful place that reach its full potential. There's no limit to the potential. We should never be satisfied. We can always improve everything, the grounds, the land, the lake. We should have a vision for that, how to make it so attractive to bring everyone and share with them this Krishna consciousness. Okay, well, I'll stop now. Any comments or questions?